I'd like everyone to take your Bibles. Pastor Tebow would like us to read the scripture before he comes. Let's all stand, and if the orchestra wants to go ahead and go back to your seats, turn to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, and we'll read the text responsibly today. I'll read the first verse, then you can come in on the second. We'll go back and forth. Job chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Verse 2, ready? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down that it will sprout again and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you for your goodness to us, and I pray that you would use this chapel time, use this message, and I pray that you'd help us to be receptive to your words and to your man. Thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would just use this time in a special way. In your name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you so much. You either gained weight since yesterday or there's a lot more people here this morning. I was a case last night, wasn't I? For those of you in the service, I turned to Brother Eddie Lapina, and this is 2 minutes, and my voice was not there. I was beginning to cough and choke, and I said, Brother Lapina, I can't do this tonight. I didn't know how to back out. I didn't know how to explain to Brother Young, who said, no way are you getting out of this. But Brother Lapina got on his direct line to God and just asked God to take care of it. If you were in the auditorium last night, many of you would be, maybe have been working, I don't know. My voice came to me, although weak, it did not quit all the way to the end. And I can assure you that my normal voice is 10 times louder than this. You know you're loud when you get up to preach in church and all the old people are turning down their hearing aids. And God gave me a significant voice. It just is absent. I didn't bring it with me. And I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of that. I did that yesterday in chapel. But thank you for your prayers. I will continue to see specialists, and they have more tests to do. But I'm just glad that my tests so far are okay. I do not have throat cancer. I thought of our dear friend, Arby Ouellette. And I thought, oh, here we go again. But it wasn't to be so. And so I'm thankful this morning. I love your orchestra symphony. If it has strings, it's a symphony, actually. Our Christian school in Illinois is one of the very, very few, almost none, independent Baptist Christian schools that have a symphony. We have 35 members, and I didn't know kettle drums kettle drums are so expensive, you know? I said, we need 5 of those big drums. What do you call those? You know, to me, they look like Ma's kettle, you know, but we bought them used for about $20,000. I didn't know handbells were so expensive. We have a handbell performance group, and we have the 4-octave set. Those are about $40,000. So if you're going to be a ding-a-ling, count the cost. Thank you for reading that scripture for me. I would have done it. When I woke up this morning, I was no better than last night. You have one preacher today that's not going to yell at you. You might have to listen real, real close. People were saying that I talked so soft for the first time they in memory, that Wednesday night auditorium during the preaching was totally quiet. You could hear a pin drop, some of them said. And it's because you had to listen close or you'd miss it. And thank you for that music. I love college music. Love summer teams. We have them every summer at our place from here. I traveled. I know you don't believe this. I can't believe it now. But I traveled 4-5 summers for Maranatha Baptist University in the day before your college started. And I sang bass on the road. My graduate year, I got to be a team leader and preach. But it was hard just not to sing along with them. Beautiful, thank you for your songs this morning. Upon the earth, there are 8 billion plus people walking around. They live and they walk. And when you think about 8 billion, it's easy to feel like a grain of sand on a 1,000-mile ocean beach. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That verse comes to my mind so often. What am I? Who am I? That you would even know who I am or even be mindful of me. God is so big, so wonderful, so eternal, so everlasting, so all-encompassing, you'll never get your arms around it, let alone your brain. And he knows your name. He actually gave it to you. So if you don't like your name, it's the one that ultimately God put in somebody's heart and they pinned it on you. Me, I'd have been happy with just Fred. How many Freds do we have in here? I don't have my glasses either today. Boy, we're doing good. Keith, there aren't very many. There's one here. But one might ask, who am I? What significance am I among these billions of people? Well, that answer depends on the parameters you put on the question. If you ask, who am I among 8 billion? The answer is, you are nobody. If you ask, who am I by the space I occupy? I don't know how many cubic feet are on the surface of the earth, you might occupy one of those. I occupy 4 of those, but who am I by the space I occupy? The answer is nobody. Who am I on the pages of human history for most people? Nobody. I mean, for people that put you in history, you either have to be famous or infamous, one or the other. Who am I amidst the nations of the earth? Nobody. And here is the raw truth. I mean, we all kind of have a hard time picturing life and earth without us. You know, like you don't exist down here. And we know that if the rapture doesn't happen, we're going to die. We're going to go to heaven. 25 years after your death, unless you are incredibly famous or infamous, 25 years after your death, very few people will ever remember that you existed. Of the few that knew you or knew you existed, rarely will they think about you 25 years after they're gone. You're gone. Using these parameters, Job wrote several observations in today's text. Verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're pretty young. How many of you feel like you've had enough trouble for a lifetime? When you get to be my age, which I'm older than Moses' uncle, I've had enough trouble for a lifetime. How many of you have believed that you've seen the last of your troubles? I don't even believe that. If you're in the ministry, there's more trouble coming. If you're if they're one of your overseers, if you work at Hiles Anderson College, there's plenty on the way. I hope you aren't the reason for one of those. Verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You like flowers? I like flowers, but I don't like to wear flowers. I don't care whose wedding it is. I told my daughters, don't you be pinning one of those things on me in your wedding. But I like garden flowers, and when I was younger, I liked to work. I had a big flower bed, and you know what? I like lilies. But lilies are beautiful, but very short-lived. If you get 3 weeks out of them in bloom, you're doing well. Many of them will die after 2 weeks. These gorgeous, beautiful blooms, these lilies, short-lived. Femininity has made the makeup industry the world's largest business. It's kind of a fickle business when you think about it. The young girls want to do their makeup so they look older. And the older you get, you change and you want to look younger. Make up your mind. No pun intended. Job was saying, your life is like a flower. You start off fresh, beautiful. It's going to fade. It's going to die. Eventually, you'll be cut down and you will cease to be. In verse 5, it says, your days are determined, the number of his months, and you will not pass beyond those boundaries. I am a very firm believer that the number of days that you will be on this earth is appointed. God knows there's nothing you can do to add to them. God can. But he added to one guy's life, what, 15 years? To add something, you have to have something to add to. You got to start off with a number. Or how do you know if you got added to? I'm saying your appointment is set unless God, for some reason, himself resets that appointment. Your days are appointed. You're not going to cross those boundaries. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. So using all these parameters to ask, who am I? The only answer is nobody. But if you change, careful, Tebow, don't use your voice up. That is such a temptation. But if you change the parameters and you say, who am I to God? Why did he create me? Now listen to this. Then the answer says, is you have opportunity to change nobody to somebody. I said opportunity. You have opportunity laying in front of you. For how many years, I do not know where. You can become a nobody in God's eyes, or just one of 8 billion, or you have the opportunity to become somebody in Christ. Moving forward to Job 13, there is a phrase in verse 27 that rarely catches attention. Job 13:27, thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. And that's where we're going to spend some time. The name of this is the print of thy heel. I have underlined in my study Bible, thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. So, but where are your prints? These prints that make you just you, nobody else has them. Where are they? They're located on the ends of your fingers. Your prints are located on your palms. Your prints are located on your toes and the heel of your foot. They are God's ID card of who you are. Nobody else has those prints. Like snowflakes, there's no two alike. Well, how do they know? Did they look at all of them? It's amazing what we just believe because science says it. If science says that, I don't take much stock of it anymore. But your prints are different, and that we know. Your prints tell us three things: who you are, where you have been, and what you have done. Your prints may never be important to man, but they are very important to God. The prints God has given you make you an individual. Even the unborn baby has prints. In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, for thou hast possessed my reins. What is that in the Hebrew? Guts. Sorry. For thou hast possessed my reins, my insides. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In my book? You mean he has a parts book? Well, if you read it close enough, everything about you came from God's book. He put it together. It's like Mr. Potato Head, almost. That's probably not theologically true, but it did catch my attention. In thy book, all my members were written. Before there was any of them, they were in my book. So if you don't learn anything else this morning, you went home with a really cool thought. But you look better than Mr. Potato Head. God purposely made every individual and put a print on their heel. I am not only a child of the King with a mission in life. I'm more than that. My mission gives me a divine purpose. What I am to do. My mission gives me a divine placement where I am to do it. My mission gives me a divine priesthood, how I am to do it. My mission gives me a divine partition, how much time I spend doing it. God's plan and mission, nothing is by accident, is all detailed. Don't you wish you knew God's detail coming up for you 15 years from now, 30 years from now, or as many years as I have been around? I pastored my church 40 years. I was in my previous church 8 years. I have a mission. I know where I have been, but as of this moment, I still do not know where all God is going to take me. I mean, I'm kind of getting close to the end chapter. I'm not the healthiest kid on the block. I know what you're thinking. Well, just lose some weight, Buster. Did you ever meet a person in their 70s that was skinny as a rail that was healthy? Look how long Santa Claus has lived. Huh? Say, preacher, do you ever get under conviction about it? Well, I should. By the way, it changes over the years. What time are we out here again? Noon. Okay. So I was a freshman in college once. Actually, I was. And my first 2 years, coming out of a little bit different kind of a church, I didn't really know. And I went to Bob Jones University. I was 139 pounds, and I was on the gymnastics team. I could jump up in the air, turn a somersault backward, and land perfectly on my feet again. Do you know what a Russian handstand is? Two guys hand to hand. Guy on the bottom, guy on the top. I was the guy on the top at 139 times. I could do a handstand on somebody else's hands 5-6 feet up. I could do the Iron Cross, do a lot of things. So what changed? 50 years. Fellowship. Pastoring. Visiting little old ladies. And Casey's. My people actually know I like Casey's. I get gift cards all the time from Casey's. I got one right now. My wallet's got $50 on it. That's a lot of donuts. No, it's gas, and it's I love their quarter pound cheeseburgers plain. Best in the world. But I have a mission. I have a purpose, which that's what I'm to do. I have a placement. It's where I am to do it. I have priesthood. It's how I am to do it. I have partition, how much of the time I spend doing it. When I went to Maranatha Baptist College, which is where I transferred, and when I went there, Jack House was on the board. This school did not exist. Noah did. But the school didn't. If I've heard him say it once, I heard him say it 100 times. Young people, you can let your finger fall on the map anywhere and there'll be a job for a Maranatha graduate there. So when I, in my senior year, getting ready to graduate, I opened one eye. And it landed on Miami. And being of the spiritual maturity I was, which I wasn't very, I had a great education. I would later go back for advanced degrees. I went to Miami. There was a job there for me. And then Fort Lauderdale. I became a youth pastor. I had 200 teenagers in my Sunday school class. I'll never forget taking them to New York, to the Adirondack Mountains. They had never seen snow, except for on a postcard. My kids had never seen snow. We got out of camp. It was all packed down, nice walk to the lodge, all packed down, not slippery, and all my kids crawled on their hands and knees to get to the door. They didn't even know how to walk on. And by the end of the week, they were driving snowmobiles. But then I was a Yankee from Michigan. I knew all about snow. I didn't know anything about the South. Went to Bob Jones, this little old Southern girl. I didn't know anything about the South. I hadn't been around it. And she says, "Yeah, I want some grits." I said, "Some what?" I said, "It doesn't sound very good." And it was covered up and I couldn't see it, you know, in the school line. She said, "Try them. You'll like it." I said, "Okay, I'll try one." That's exactly what I said. "Okay, I'll try." She says, "You can't try just one." She opened the lid and I said, "Oh." Then one day I lost my mind and went back north. No, I didn't really lose my mind till I started a Christian school. That's the biggest money sinkhole I ever saw in my whole life. But we have a good Christian school. I love your symphony. Any takers on my music director? Remember my offer yesterday? $250,000 a year? Now how many volunteers do I have? The work you're called to has nothing to do with wages, although we take very good care of our assistant pastors. It has everything to do about the work of Jesus, he was always about the work of his Father. When you do the work of Jesus, you do the work of the Father. Of course, we know the Trinity, but in 1 Corinthians 3:13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire,
and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, eternal security, yet so as by fire. Say, are we still talking about Prince? It's in my conclusion here. Listen. You have permission to steal this years down the road. When I stand before the Bema seat, my works will be judged on the evidence. My sin won't be, because Jesus already judged my sins and paid for my sins and shed his blood for my sins. And when he was on the cross, he was taking my death penalty, mine. He died in my place. And when he rose from the grave, he became the author and finisher of our faith. And when people say to another brother or sister, a Christian, you'll answer for that someday. No, you won't. You should, but you won't. It's already been answered. Doesn't mean that you can get away with what you want to get away with. Man, he carries a big paddle. Have you ever been swatted by God? It's not fun. And God never says, ever, this will hurt me more than it hurts you. That's what my dad said. But my father never said that. He knows how to get our attention. You can't get away with anything you want to do. Life can get real bad for you if you start living unto yourself. So this body of evidence will be gathered. And listen to this. The print left by my heels on this earth will tell where I have been. The print left by my toes on this earth will tell what I have stood upon. The print of my fingers will tell what I have touched. The print left with my hands will tell what I have done. Now let's read them. Let's look at this. Back down on earth for right now. Let's just get back to earth, and I'm going to be done in about 2 minutes. Really. Last week, you left your prints everywhere. Where'd you leave them? What'd you touch? Say, oh, nobody knows. Yeah, God knows. You left your prints. What'd you pick up and read? When nobody was around and you got your phone out with our infamous touch screen, what did you touch? See, nobody will know. No, God knows. You left your prints. Not somebody else's prints, your prints. And the prints of your hands, what have you done for Jesus this past week? Here's my challenge. Coming up on a new semester, is that right? Or okay. Young people, you are young compared to me. Don't you hate that term? I only hated it worse than students. People. This semester, you're going to leave your prints all over this whole metropolitan area. You better be careful. You better be careful where you go, where you've been, what you've stood upon, what you have touched. what you've done. Let's go out this week and this semester and concentrate on our mission. What I am to do, where I am to do it, how I am to do it, and how much time I spend doing it. And someday in eternity, your prints will be the evidence.